Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back with an exit interview after episode number 5 of Survivor 46. And today, we're going to be talking with Jem, who was the first player voted out of the Sega tribe. Had a great chat about it with Kelly from Survivor 45 on the post-game show. We will get into everything from her game with Jem here in just a couple of moments. And then if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, we've got a Survivor history quiz. We're not going to be putting the logos in order, but Omer Zahir is going to be here with me to try to win $100 for the charity of his choice. Of course, we post those videos on our YouTube channel as well. And then here on Thursday, we've also got the Survivor Know-It-Alls coming up with Stephen Fishback at a special later time, 4 o'clock. So be on the lookout for that. But let's go ahead and bring in my conversation with Jem. Hey, Jem. Good morning. Rob Cesternino. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Okay. Well, Jemmy, I got a lot of questions for you about your game. And, you know, I always like to go back and I watch the preseason interviews that the players do beforehand. And something that really caught my attention was how you said that your favorite Survivor player that you wanted to emulate was Tony. And you know what? Looking back, I think you did have some Tony in your game. Yeah. Yeah, because you were creating a lot of chaos out there. I'd love to hear from you, like, looking back, that do you feel like that was ultimately a problem to be creating so much chaos?
No, it was great. I was having fun. My tribe was boring as hell. I was tired of the Taylor Swift. I was tired of the Metallica. I was just tired of people just laying around and doing nothing. And I was like, you know what? If I have to hear Taylor Swift or Metallica one more time, I'm probably going to take myself out of the game. So let's do some damage. And okay. I found that viewer advantage and I was like, what can I do with it? And I was like, okay, I'll replant it. But I had a follow up. Okay. I wanted to do a lot more with it, but the fact that we didn't lose, it kind of made my plans fizzled out. And so I wanted to, like, cause with the scroll came my box and I was thinking whether I should like put the box where I replanted it and have them find it and bring the box to camp. So that way it's easy for me because we'll have to lose regardless. And it'll be easy for me to go get the key from the original spot and open the box while they're still digging like the data we lost for whatever else is going to be there. Or kind of just, you know, figure out a fake idol or something. But it was just, the days passed by and we didn't lose. And so they ended up digging and digging and digging and found nothing. And then my plan was busted, but yeah. I still had fun.
Did you have a person in mind that you wanted to put the sus on when you planted that Beware Advantage?
I wanted to put it on Tim or Ben.
Because we didn't see you ultimately throw their names out there. Were you just hoping that we heard Mariah ultimately say Tim's name? Were you doing stuff to try to make it seem like it was them also?
I was just saying like subtle things to like Mariah. I was like, it's weird. It's like some people are just digging really hard. And then she was like, oh, it's like an idea. And she's like, yeah. And then she say it out loud. And I was like, we need to tell Maria. So it's not coming from me. It's coming from Mariah. And then we told Maria. And so it was like, I'm saying small things and it's getting like, you know, it's getting out there and it's not coming from me. So I was like, okay, clean and clear.
Jem, I was really surprised that Maria ended up voting against you and voting to keep Ben. Was that a surprise to you too?
Absolutely. 100%. Like I didn't think, not a single day in my life would have thought that my name was going to be in a parchment that early or in that episode. Because we've had Charlie's Angels established since the second day and we've had like touch bases and kind of like talks every day to make sure that we're still strong and solid. And so that was never the idea. And then we came up with a plan of like, when we got voted out, when we lost a challenge, to have conversations with everybody one-on-one. So it wasn't like, oh, Jem was running around having conversation. It was a plan altogether to have like those conversations and doing that. So I was kind of like surprised by it.
I know you've had a lot of time to think about this. Do you have any theories about why ultimately Maria and Charlie would vote against you?
I don't have a theory per se, because nothing was shown. So it's just like in my mind at this point. But I know, like, the night before I got voted out, we were sharing like personal stories, and I told my backstory about like where I'm from, what made me, like the struggles that I've had, and like just what I've accomplished from being where I was before. And I think that kind of set off some alarm in certain people head, because the next vote was going to be like, after this vote, then it's merge, right?
Yeah. That you would be such a threat in the end that nobody could beat that story.
Yeah, yeah. I think so. Okay. Or that I was going to side with the other bigger stories and kind of have there. So,
all right, Jem, something I noticed in the episode at the tribal council, I noticed that the three women in the tribe all seemed to have a similar necklace that was on, and we didn't see where that came from. Could you give the backstory where that green necklace came from?
Yeah, it's from Tree Mail. So we would all have, like, every morning we would go to Tree Mail, and they'll have the parchment of what's happening that day, and it comes wrapped in the little necklaces. And so the first Tree Mail that we had, I read it, and so I tied it on my neck. And then the second Tree Mail, it was like Maria, and the third Tree Mail, it was Mo. So then we all ended up with the necklaces.
Did it mean anything?
No, it didn't. But I remember in the second Tree Mail that we had, and I tied it around Maria, and I was like, oh, it's like, this is signifies like, I don't know, sisterly or something. I said some stupid things while I was tying it, and she was like, oh, that's so sweet. Yeah. But
Jem, something else you said in the preseason was that you said you were going to find an idol. You said that, like, why even go on Survivor if you're not going to find an idol? And you did. And you also said, I'm never going to tell anybody, no matter what, about having an idol. I do wonder, though, had you told Maria about the idol and maybe that you would use it for Siga in the future, do you think that that might have changed anything?
I don't think it would. I think at that point, after I found it and I replanted the Beware Advantage, I think that was it. I couldn't tell anybody about it because it would have backfired on me. They were getting bitten by ants like this big, so I couldn't do that. So no, in hindsight, like, I still think some things are better kept to yourself, because my whole idea was to keep it for myself. We tell everybody everything when you're there. You're so vulnerable and out in the open, and it's good to have something that's just yours and that you're the only person who knows about it. So it makes it a lot sweeter. It would have been great if I played it for myself. I was kind of hoping that I'll keep it all the way to the end and sit in the final three and then whip it out and be like, I did that. But no, that didn't happen.
Jem, what else can you tell us about life at Siga? We've seen so much of just like the camp life and the vibes, but was there more there to what was going on?
Yeah, there was a lot more. I mean, from the day that we got there, like, I realized that my tribe doesn't know a lot about anything jungle related. And I know from my interview, I said I wasn't going to be a provider because I grew up in that kind of place. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to be like Nasir, where he was the provider and he got voted out. Oh, I jinxed myself there. But I ended up becoming the provider. And so we had time where we were just like going out looking for food. And I'm telling them, oh, look, there, we could eat that. Or it was just like very close, I guess. And when we were making the shelter, they were like, I don't know what to do. And they're like, Jem, you're the visual merchandiser. And I was like, yes, I'll help, without like the target on my back that I know everything. I was like, yeah, visually, I think this would look good. And so it was just like small things like that. Or like when they were sleeping and there's bamboo and they have like this knuckle kind of thing, I macheted every single one of it out so they can sleep like flat. And so it was just like, I don't know, I shouldn't have done none of that.
Jem, my son wanted me to ask you, will you ever be able to dance the salsa again?
Actually, I was pretending to not know how to dance salsa. I know how to dance salsa.
Look at
you. I know bachata and merengue too. Yeah, I'm really good at dancing. But I was like, it's Maria's moment. She talked about how she is a salsa teacher. And that's why I was like, one, two, three, stop. And that's like when Charlie was like doing his hip, I was like dying because I was like, I know for sure that's not how the hip movement goes. And I was like, I'm about to die. Like, should I show Charlie how to move his hips?
You can't give up your spot. Tell me a little bit more about that. Ben and Tim, you felt like there were people that you wanted to target. What were they doing that made them targets for you?
So I just couldn't trust him. I couldn't have a read on him. I think when he's like stressed, he has like this crazy look in his eyes and I just couldn't get past it. So every time, like on day like two or three, we kind of had an alliance going, Tim and I, and we kind of pulled in Maria, but it was just like, let's just tell Tim we're in an alliance so he doesn't feel like he's at the bottom. And then like Maria and I never took it really serious. So we had kind of like something going on, but it wasn't like, I just couldn't get past not being able to trust him. So I didn't invest time into it. And then for Ben, I was a little annoyed with him, to be very honest, with like the singing and everything is like, we rock and just like all these rock references. And I don't like rock music. I'm sorry, but I don't. And I couldn't get past it. And then after every challenge, he would just come back and ask to lay down when I'm like searching for food and giving them food. And then one day I was like cutting the papayas and he was like, could you bring it to me? And I was like, absolutely fucking not. And then Maria's like, I'll bring it to you. And then Maria like take it and he's just laying down. They at least show where he was like, I don't feel good. And Charlie was like, let me go refill your. Yeah, that was like, that drove me insane. That's why I wanted to.
That was a lot. Or that was it was starting to get to that point.
No, it was a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Now, in the episode, we saw you go and confront Ben and he seemed a little bit uncomfortable that you had the machete. Was that intentional on your part to come across as more intimidating by holding the machete?
No way. So the reason I had the machete is if you look at the episode, I was by the tree. I was about to dig for the stuff. So I already had the machete and I was running around doing things with the machete. And then Ben approached me. So I had the machete. He just had a hammer for no reason. So I was like, okay, that's why I made sure in my mind to hold a machete because I know how that looked on TV. I held it down straight by my side and didn't even move it because I didn't want to be intimidated because they were already calling me Machete Queen. And I was like, oh God, I'm not going to do this. Yeah.
Well, that was very impressive the way that you had to go. I think I would have never gotten to ultimately figure out all of those calculations. How stressful was that for you?
It was really stressful because I forgot what a perimeter is. And I was just like, this is not going to work. But I'm okay with how it ended. I think to be blindsided is something great. We know all the great players get blindsided. But to go out with an additional vote, Jen, on you, with an extra vote. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To go out with an extra vote, like somebody putting a vote on you when they could have used that after the merge. Like, okay, I know I'm
great. Sign of respect. Yeah. Jem, you also said in your preseason press that it's really your husband is the super fan. You started watching the show and then you both applied. What was his reaction to seeing you get to play the game?
He was just very proud. He was like incredibly proud. I know they like clipped the one thing that says my husband is jealous, but he's the most supportive, the most amazing person I could ask for. And he like supported it all through. And then when he saw last episode, he was like, you went a little crazy on them. I thought you said you weren't sassy or spicy. I was like, babe, I was stressed. I was like, I don't know. Cause I was like telling him I wasn't spicy at all. Cause in my real life, I'm spicy.
I get that, Jem. Could your husband have arranged all the logos?
Oh, yes. He would have 100% gotten that. Like, blood versus water, we're coming.
Okay. All right, Jem, anything else you want to let people know?
No, that I am grateful for all the support and the love, and it's not over yet for me. That's okay.
All right. Well, Jem, all the best outside of Survivor. You had a lot of fun and we certainly that came through on the show. So I wish you nothing but the best. Okay.
Awesome. Thank you so much,
Rob. Take care, Jem. Bye. Bye. All right, everybody. There you have it, Jem. Great job by Jem. Covered a lot of ground there on the exit interview. Look, she was there to have fun. She played a big game. And, you know, she definitely enjoyed herself. And she said, you know, looking back, it's funny when you, she says, okay, I'm going to be like Tony. I want to do things that nobody's ever done before. Check, check, check. She did it. Okay. And so we know that she can also dance the salsa better than she let on. And she says it's not over. So we'll see if one of these days we see Jem get a second chance. Okay. I'm going to get a second and a third chance in this week in Survivor history when I take on Omer Zaheer after losing last week. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Jordan Kalish right after this. All right. We're back. We've got some This Week in Survivor history. If you're just joining us, Rob Sestrino back here, ready to take on another titan of the new era, not just in trivia, but in Survivor as well. I'm going to have my work cut out for me here this week as my great friend Omer Zaheer is back. Omer, how are you?
I'm great. And I'm actually a trivia rebel coming out to take out the trivia titan.
Okay. Well, Omer, yeah. That since you're here with us and this is a great honor to have you back here, I'm going to give you the privilege of introducing the host of Twitch.
Oh, how, what an honorable, will you bequeath such an honor upon me? This is Jordan Kalish, and I asked Jordan today, he's going to bring some tough questions to us. So
yes,
I got to bring it.
So sometimes when I'm at work, I get calls, butt dials from Omer, but sometimes I get messages and they are on purpose. And yes, Omer said, bring the tough questions. Yes. I ain't no B. I am going to come in there and I'm going to beat Rob.
Yes. Omer, you are that much in contact with Jordan that he is a frequent butt dial of yours? I feel it like it's usually like the last person you called.
No, not for me. Maybe for you, but yeah. Not for me.
Okay.
I saw his workplace. He saw my pocket and then my workplace.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Oh, it was a pocket FaceTime. Worst case scenario.
Pocket FaceTime. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. And I was very confused at the time. I was with a class. I was like, why is Omer calling me? I get, okay, a message is one thing. I mean, we often will talk about Survivor Sporkles and various other Survivor trivia topics. But yeah, it was good to see your ceiling, Omer. And I had to go in the hallway and be like, why is this Survivor Titan calling me? But Omer is back after a great run where he took on his friends, Marianne and Zach Wurtenberger this past summer, right? Was that the summer?
I don't think Omer has ever gotten a question wrong on Survivor Trivia. Is that correct?
I got one wrong.
One wrong.
But it was because I didn't understand the question.
Okay. Poorly
which
worded
is very
question.
Uncommon for Twitch.
Yes.
That's never happened before.
Well, all right. So Omer is here to be playing for $100 for the charity of his choice after Jake O'Kane cleaned me out last week. He took home $300. Well, he didn't. For the charity of his choice. Omer, who are you playing for today?
I'm playing for the Canadian Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation, which, you know, a lot of people know. I felt bad not doing an animal charity, but like, you know, my dad had pulmonary fibrosis. So let's go with that. And next time I come on here, it'll be for an animal charity.
Okay. All right. So sounds like a great cause. Jordan, what are we talking about today? In episode 5.
Yes, we have all the episode 5s in Survivor history, or more specifically, we have 6 episode 5s from Survivor history. We have Survivor Marquesas, Thailand, Palau, Blood versus Water, Winners at War, and season 45. So those are the 6 seasons that we are dealing with today. As always, Omer is going to have the first choice of season since he is the guest. If you get the question right without using the multiple choice, you get 2 points. If you get it right with the multiple choice, it's 1 point. And if you get it wrong and your opponent steals, it is 1 point for your opponent. So Omer, of those 6 seasons, where are we going first?
So just like Mr. O'Kane, I'm coming for the early days, the old school. Mm-hmm. Give me Marquesas.
All right. So just like, and it was actually Marquesas that we started with last week as well. So here we go. Boston Rob is tied in 4th place in Survivor history with 24 votes against him in his career. Who from Marquesas cast the first of these votes? So it's the first person to ever vote for Boston Rob.
It was the guy that also applied to be on Survivor again and got partway through casting before they realized he was already on the show. Mr. Gabriel Cade.
Gabriel Cade for 2 points. Omer, you're off to a great start. I don't think I knew that story, but that is fascinating. And I'm not really surprised that the Survivor casting producers didn't recognize Gabriel. Like,
we're not making the same mistake twice.
Yeah. he wanted a second adventure, but he is, yes, the first person to ever vote for Boston Rob. And like I said before, Boston Rob tied in fourth place with 24 votes. He's tied with Jonathan Penner and Laura Moret. So some big names on that list of votes against in their Survivor career. So Omer, you start with two. We are going to Rob. Rob, which season do you want?
Sure. I'll go back to Survivor 45.
All right. 45. Just like last week, following the same formula, Rob is going to the new era. Mm-hmm. In the episode in which Twitch alumnus Brando was voted out, Austin famously was sent to the summit where he did not get a sandwich. Which other two players went with him and received the 3-part amulet advantage?
Okay. Somebody that I just spoke to, Kelly and Jay Maya.
Kelly and Jay Maya, that is correct. Rob, you tie Omer, so we are tied 2-2. Great job. And Omer, so for the last 2 weeks, Brando and Jake both did a recap of their Twitch appearance on Twitch. They were doing commentary on their own episode. So Omer, do you take the pledge of being the third contestant in a row to Twitch stream their Twitch appearance?
No, I don't know how to Twitch.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair.
I could do, I don't know, maybe I'll tweet about it. But also I have beef with Rob, by the way.
Why?
Because I heard Banu's exit interview. And
yes,
you're telling me that the Roseanne Sesternino was going to shout out one Indian on the show. And it wasn't me. It was Banu. I don't like it.
Sorry. Roseanne. I'm sorry.
I guess you have more beef with Roseanne than Rob.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, he's her son.
I don't know that, but were you playing to win 1 million hearts?
I was playing to win Roseanne's heart.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember her on episode 11.
You should have cried more.
Damn it. Okay, mm-hmm. Next time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes. You never got on your knees and begged for someone to vote with you.
I would beg for a Roseanne shout out. I'll do it right now.
Okay, if you think my mom is listening to Twitch.
Oh, she of course she's listening. You don't think she listens? All the Sesterninos are listening to Twitch.
I mean, she might actually listen to the exit interview and then turn it off by the time
nobody's ever nobody's ever done that before. I think she's a Twitch only. She just watches the Twitch video.
You're so close because she's probably she might check out this podcast, but you know, no way she's sticking around for the trivia.
But that now she's not getting name dropped. Well, except for the last week, she's the other exit interview. She's not getting name dropped. She's getting name dropped on this one. So let's go to the next season. Omer, where are we? Are you taking us?
Can you repeat our options again?
Thailand, Palau, Bloodwater, and Winners at War.
I'm going to go with Thailand.
Okay. Before the tribal auction, Jeff gave the contestants the opportunity to mutiny to the other tribe, which nobody took. In a confessional, who did Helen say should have switched from her Chewygon tribe to Sukjai?
It was the Bat Mother herself, Jan Gentry.
Jan Gentry is correct on the previous vote. She had voted against Clay in the minority, and Helen said that she probably would have been the next one out. They never end up losing, so it didn't matter. But
tough question. Like from a confessional.
From a confessional, but it is based on the previous vote. So it does make sense. That is absolutely correct. Omer has 4 points. Rob, you were looking to tie it up. We can either go to Palau, Bloodwater, or Winners of War.
Tough choice. I'll go with Winners at War.
Okay. After the swap, who found the Yara tribe idol and had to give half of it to a tribe mate before sundown in order to activate it?
I believe it was Sophie G. Clark.
Sophie G. Clark was on the Yara tribe.
Yes.
The person who it was shared with was Sarah Lucina, so that would have been incorrect. But yes, Sophie G. Okay. Clark is correct. You did not need to get the middle initial.
Like this question was asked before on Twitch.
It's possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. We've done a lot of these. It's probably been asked, but that is correct. I feel like the question that I maybe asked was who did she share it with, but I'm not 100% sure about that. You can fact check me. If you're listening, go back and listen to all the Twitches, and you can go back and fact check that. But we are tied. Omer, we have Palau or Blood versus Water?
Palau.
Okay, Survivor Palau. At the tribal in which Angie was voted out, Karor was able to watch and eat beef stew and also vote for one of the oolongs to receive immunity. By a vote of 3-2 to 2-1, who did they choose to be immune?
That would be my boy Ibrahim.
Ibrahim is correct. This was a big advantage, I think, because they got to watch the whole tribal before anyone knew about this twist.
That was
the
difference maker, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it probably would have been him because he messed up in the immunity challenge, but then they ended up voting out Angie. So I think I'm sure it just changes the order of who Oolong had to vote out. But that is correct. Omer, you are have a perfect 6 points, which means you put Rob in a position where he cannot go for multiple choice. He has to get this one right. We are going to Survivor Blood versus Water.
Yeah.
After a strong run on Redemption Island.
Can we start getting some dumb dumbos out here in this Twitch competition again? Come on.
And also, maybe Rob, you would get this question right if you and Nicole had not declined your invite to the season.
Maybe. Jordan wouldn't have asked it, I think.
Yeah. Well, I have pitched a couple people who I've said to Sam, like, oh, this person probably doesn't know a lot of trivia, but they would be fun. Maybe these are the people that we need. But Rob, you are in a tough spot right now. We're going to Bloodwater. After a strong run on Redemption Island, Candace lost the challenge in this episode and was officially eliminated. Who were the two players who defeated her?
Wow. Two?
Two players. Okay. So you need both.
All right. I'm going to say it was John Cody. And I'm going to say it was, I'm going to assume Laura Moret was there at this time. I'll say Laura and John.
Laura and John. So John Cody.
Omer shaking his head. No.
Was one of the players.
Yes.
The other one, unfortunately, Rob, was not Laura Moret. Omer, per the you've won already, but per the rules of the quiz, you could steal a point here. Who's the other one?
F you, Brad Culpepper.
That's what Rob is saying right now. F you, Brad Culpepper. Omer steals the point and wins by a score of 7-4. Rob, $100. And Omer, what is the charity again?
The Canadian Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation.
Getting 100 buckaroonies from the pockets of Rob Cesternino.
Yes.
I wanted to go to a tiebreaker, Rob.
I'm sorry about that. Yeah, that... do not have that recollection of that Brad was winning on the Redemption Island. My bad.
I believe it was just one challenge that he won. And then Laura gets voted out in this episode.
Okay. All right. Well, that's bad on me. Congratulations to Omer, who I think if we put all of the trivia champs together, I think my money would be on Omer.
Let's do it. I'm ready, Jake.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I did say last week after we finished recording, I think that right now, and this is only of people who have done the quiz, I think that we've maybe established a little bit of a Mount Rushmore. The people that I think I would stack up against anyone else in trivia, you're two of them. Jake, after last week, I didn't realize how good he was until he came on last week. And I think our first guest, who also beat you, Rob Dwight, I think is on there too. But I think there's some people who haven't played yet that probably are going to be playing.
I mean, Dwight knew all the questions about the new era, but did not really know anything from the old era, seemingly.
Well, I mean, he's done well in other trivia games. I think he's definitely the new era king right now, potentially. I mean, yes, it was his own season. But I think he might be on there.
He does
think
know
that
the most about his own season.
But he wasn't even there for like half of it.
Give me Donlin. Give me Carmine. Well,
that's what I'm saying. Like Owen. I think there are some people who have never played who are untested, but they're like it's like the AAA. We haven't called them up to the big leagues.
Okay. All right. So I'm back down to a losing record on the season, right? I'm 2 wins and 3 losses now.
Yeah, these new era Titans don't play around, Rob.
All right, boy. If I can go 500 on the season, I think I'd be happy. But okay, great job by you, Omer. Omer, what's coming up for you?
Not much, really. Marianne's wedding is coming up. We're going to have a great time. And that's about it.
Okay. All right.
Saving animals.
Well, great job. Keep up the good work. Jordan, for you?
Follow me on Twitter at Jordan Kalish. As always, we have the New York City viewing parties. Let me know if you're interested in ever attending those. We do it every week. Catch me next week with, I'm sure, another great guest where Rob will try to get his record back up to 500. It'll be a lot.
Do we not get a verbal rebus? What is this?
Unfortunately, no verbal rebus this week. But unless could we make a verbal rebus for next week's guest? Probably not. That would take too much time. Yeah. The reason why I will tell you that our recording time was moved up this week. The verbal rebus is usually the thing I do last before we start recording. So I did not have time. I had to drive home for this. I got in my car and I was like, damn, the whole time I was like, it's not going to be a verbal rebus for Omer. He's going to be
for shame.
I'll send you one and you can do it yourself. And maybe we could tweet it out.
Mm-hmm. All right. Why don't you just tweet out a regular rebus for people?
That's right. It wouldn't really be a verbal rebus if I'm tweeting it to him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Jordan, great job. We'll be back next week. Thank you, everybody, for checking out This Week in Survivor History Trivia Battle and our exit interview once again. We'll be back with a big Thursday here. Know-it-alls a little bit later on in the day today on Thursday. Make sure you check that out. Thank you so much for joining us. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.